Carter, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start by talking about just what Green Acres is. The name itself is so engaging that it immediately makes us think of beautiful landscapes. So where is Green Acres and how was it established?
Green Acres is located in Indian Hill, in the north end of Indian Hill. It's about 605 acres, and it was established by Lewis and Louise Nippert as their legacy gift to the city. And the mission they gave Green Acres was to reflect their three passions. In Mr. Nippert's case, it was sustainable agriculture and the environment, and Mrs. Nippert was the performing cultural arts. So they both felt a good way to pass on their legacy and their love of those three areas was establish Green Acres as an educational facility for area children.
Well, I know you have many different activities going on there. So let's talk about them bit by bit. Maybe begin with the education programs?
The education program started about 25 years ago, and we focused initially on environment education, outdoor education. All of our programs are custom-based, so a classroom teacher will contact our staff. They'll talk about the challenges the classroom is having. What are the principles related to the state standards test that the children are challenged by? And we'll develop a hands-on activity, either using the environment, the agricultural assets, the gardens, the greenhouse, the equine area, or water quality, and then the cultural arts. And within those centers, we develop hands-on activities to teach the principal that's going to be on the state test. So our goal is to provide another way to raise state standards and improve education overall. But everything is targeted to what the classroom teacher wants up front.
So what about the summer camps?
Actually, they developed because our staff needed employment in the summertime. And so they took what were their best ideas through the school year and weaved them into summer camp activities. So while the camps are very fun for the children, there is always an educational component in what they're doing. They've worked out very well, and they cover all the topic areas that I mentioned.
And there's a farm store.
Well, you can't really teach about agriculture unless you have some farm animals. And kind of a byproduct of what Green Acres does is we raise grass-fed Black Angus beef using what's known as multi-species intensive grazing. And then we have sheep to follow the beef and then poultry to follow the sheep through the fields. And that way we balance the soils by balancing the manures that are entered into the soils. We also change the animal impact because a cow's hoof is different than a sheep's hoof, which is different than a chicken or a turkey that scratches the ground. All of those impacts together create a growing and vibrant soil that provides faster and better grass growth, which means we can sustain more animals on the soil and have higher production. And that's part of what we try and teach is the relationship between all the aspects of a system need to be considered as a very holistic approach instead of focusing on one individual target. So it's a pretty different form of agriculture. But those assets are then sold to the public through our farm store, from garden to produce. We just finished the big turkey sale every year, and we have a great time with that.
What about the Equine Center?
The Equine Center started probably about 10 years ago, and it consists of really two programs. One is for children with means to pay for riding lessons, and most of those children are focused on Pony Club membership. And our Pony Club recently had two of the members made it to the international competition where they placed very well. And in the national competition, they placed number one. So we've done very well in the Pony Club scene with the children who are blessed and can afford a riding lesson. Then we marry that with an at-risk program for children who can't afford a riding lesson. And so we'll bring out at-risk students. And a typical example would be a small group of 8 to 10 at-risk students. Each is partnered with one of the Pony Club riders and a horse in the middle. And so they'll spend 2.5, 3 hours. And the children that are at risk, this may be the first time they've ever seen a horse, but they not only see it, they get up close, they clean their feet, they clean the horse, and then they take a mini riding lesson on the horse. So they become familiar with what a horse can do. But in that time frame, they break down relationship between a child that is not at risk and a child that is at risk. They share ideas, and the common thread is this big 1,200, 1,500-pound animal in the middle. that really does a wonderful job of causing any differences go away, because the common ground is we've got to get this done for the horse.
So everybody is learning.
Everybody's learning, including the staff, because you never know what's going to happen when you introduce children and horses at the same time. For some reason, horses know exactly when to stomp their foot, when to blow their nose, when to turn their head. And so if someone's misbehaving a little bit or a little scared, the horse knows when to nudge them, knows when to nudge them back in line. And I don't know how horses know that, but they do.
What is the annual Big Four Performing Arts Concert?
Every fall, starting about 3 years ago, we brought together the symphony, opera, ballet, and May Festival. The original idea, it was the concert for Mrs. Nippert's 100th birthday. And we put all four on the same stage at the Green Acres Arts Center under our big tent. And it was a wonderful concert. John Morris Russell leads the, I guess you'd call it the choreography of the groups to put together the program. And it was so well received by the audiences that we've repeated it the last few years. And we look forward to repeating it again this year. This year we're going to working on doing a slight twist. Instead of having the concert two nights in a row, which is more of an adult-oriented performance, we're going to take one day and do it for area school children. And so we'll modify the program a little bit so that it is an educational experience. And then on 9/11 will be the adult performance in the evening. And we look forward to a great concert with JMR leading the way.
Well, it sounds exciting.
It's been really great. The combination of all four on the stage at the same time, really amazing.
Well, you've also had a particularly rewarding relationship with Euler School for several years. Can you tell us something about that?
Euler School had a mentoring program. My daughter actually was a mentor at Euler. And one day she said, why aren't these children visiting Green Acres, to Craig Hockenberry, the principal? And he said, I don't know. So within a few weeks, we arranged to have groups from Euler come to Green Acres. And over time, what we learned was that the more the students from Euler came to Green Acres, the higher their test scores became. They saw significant increases. And I think part of what Green Acres was offering some of these children was an opportunity to see grass. Years ago, I learned that inner city children have a very different point of view. I was teaching a class, and it was to an inner city school, and a young lady grabbed my hand when we entered the woods. She wasn't holding my hand. She grabbed my hand. She was scared to death by the woods. And at the end of the program, I asked her why. And she said, well, when I come here, the ground is soft, and I don't like that. Well, we were walking on dirt and grass as opposed to blacktop and concrete, which was her area of comfort. Then she said, it's noisy here. And what we heard were crickets and birds chirping in the woods. But what to her, noisy was silence and birds, as opposed to quiet was sirens and diesel engines and that. Then she said, it stinks here. And the stink, and I looked around saying, this is clean air, this is wonderful. But to her, it was the lack of the diesel fumes and other fumes that caused that discomfort. So I realized that if we take children from the inner city and we can expose them to the woods, to the environment, to the clean air, to this different atmosphere, we're opening their eyes to a whole new world. And I think as part of that process, these children with opened eyes to there's something different, study harder, they prepare better, and they move forward. We've seen Euler have a great success with their test scores and what's going on there, and we're very happy that we're trying to form and have started the process of forming the same partnership with Bond Hill and with Riverside Academy. And we hope we get the same kind of results, because these children deserve the opportunity to get a little hope in their life that there's something more than the four-block area that they live in. And if that works, more power to us.
What about volunteer opportunities at Green Acres?
Volunteer opportunities range from people who come out and learn how to teach. Sometimes they teach an entire lesson plan, and sometimes they'll teach targeted stations of a lesson plan, to people who maintain trails, work in the gardens, do bluebird monitoring, do nest box monitoring. And we also have a group that's our volunteering for veggies group, which maintains a garden. And each year, the produce from that garden goes to the free store. And that's been going on for probably 20 years. And they produce about a ton of fresh vegetables every year to the free store. So lots of opportunities for volunteers to come join us.
Well, lots goes on at Green Acres. Thanks so much for coming in to talk with us about it.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about Green Acres.
We've been talking with Carter Randolph, president of Green Acres, where forests and fields still exist within the 275 Beltway. For more information, see wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jane Durrell.